Matt Whitaker, former U.S. Acting Attorney General.
This is such a great conversation about America, our future, what's going to save our republic.
We have a great football player. Matt Whitaker is here. Matt.
They tried to bury me. They didn't realize I was a C.
It's a touchdown. Whitaker.
Former acting U.S. Attorney General.
Under President Trump.
I'm going to be an unwavering supporter of law enforcement.
Welcome to Liberty and Justice with your host, Matt Whitaker.
Welcome back to CPAC Now. I am your host, Matt Whitaker. I'm here with my friend Ronnie Jackson, Congressman from Texas. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thank you.
Good. Well, yeah. I appreciate everything you're doing in Congress. How good is it to be in the majority?
It's much, much better than being in the minority, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you what it is. It's busy, though. We got a lot to do. We got a lot on our plate. I'm on four committees right now, including the Oversight Committee or the Select Committee for Coronavirus, as well as Armed Services, Foreign Affairs, and Ag. So it's busy, but it's a good kind of busy.
Yeah. So tell me, what are you working on? What are the main things you're focused on in your work on those committees and then generally in the House?
Well, I'm focused on our national security, obviously. You know, being on Foreign Affairs and Armed Services, that's a big deal. So I want to make sure that we have a good, solid national defense. We're worried about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, what's happening there. We're worried about what's probably about to happen at some point in the South China Sea with China and Taiwan. Worried about, obviously, you know, things like Iran and North Korea. Those things don't go away. So there's a lot of stuff out there on the horizon that's dangerous to the American people. I want to make sure that we stay focused. I think one of the biggest issues that we've had over the last couple of years is that everyone in the Biden administration across the board, regardless of what their role is, whether they're chairman of the Joint Chiefs or Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State, regardless, they've taken their eye off the ball, right? And they've made this country weak because they've neglected certain things that were very important to our national security. So I want to get that back up and running. With regards to ag, I want to make sure that we prop up rural America, that we take care of our farmers and our ranchers, and then we start treating ag like it's a national security issue as well, because honestly, it really is.
You know, so are we working on a farm bill right now?
We are. We're working on a farm bill right now. We just started, obviously, having hearings on this. We're way behind. You know, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania is the chair of the committee. Wonderful man. He's a great chair. He was telling us before we got in, and right as we were taking the majority, we're way behind. This time, last cycle, 5 years ago, when they were working on the farm bill, they had already had something like 120 hearings and listening sessions. We, you know, during the last 2 years had maybe 10. And of course, they were all related to the woke social agenda, the Green New Deal or something, you know, some of that garbage. So we're way behind, but we're aggressively doing this. We're going out. GT's having listening sessions in California. He's got one coming up in Waco, in my home state, in Texas here in the next few days. And we're having hearings here in D.C., and we're getting a lot done.
Good. What do you see Congress balance be to the oversight, the holding, you know, kind of Biden administration accountable for some of their failed policies, and at the same time, policymaking? How do we balance that?
You can't balance it 50-50. It can't be even right now because we don't have the Senate and we don't have the White House. So we're limited in what we can do from a policy standpoint, but that's not stopping us. We're putting together great bills. We're voting stuff off the floor of the House every single day, important stuff. We're making the Senate take the vote on it. We're making Biden threaten to veto it. And that's important because that shines a lot of light on the issues that the American people, to some extent, especially if all you do is watch CNN and MSNBC, you had no idea what was going on, right? So we're doing that. I think right now a lot of the focus is on oversight because that's the big tool that we have in our toolbox. Unfortunately, when the Senate passed, and this is the unfortunate part, with the support of a lot of Republican senators, the omnibus bill at the end of the last Congress, they tied our hands a little bit with our financial, with our ability to control the purse strings. So we're in a limited position what we can do right now with cutting off the money until October, until the next fiscal year. But we're going after that stuff. We're pushing hard. And I think that there will be, as time goes on, certainly as we get more and more, if we get the Senate back in the next election cycle, it will really shift heavy on policy. Yeah. And we hopefully will have a lot of the investigations, a lot of the oversight behind us. But we got to get that stuff done because the horrible things that have happened to this country over the last couple of years can never happen again.
Yeah, and we're here live at CPAC, and you were on a panel just before we sat down here, and you were talking about, among other things, the origins of COVID, the vaccines, you know, what was your takeaway from that panel? I mean, you had it was such a great discussion. It's hard to synthesize 25 minutes of a great discussion, but you know, give me your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I wanted to make a point to everybody, we're going to get answers, and one of the reasons we're going to get answers on all these fronts, whether it's the weaponization of the FBI and the DOJ, or whether it's the origins of COVID, what's happening in our school systems with the teachers' unions, all these things, we're going to get answers to these in a large part because whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork right now, right? People are seeing the writing on the wall. They're suddenly deciding that they need to come out and say what most of us have known for the last two and a half years or so, that this virus originated from a lab in Wuhan. They're trying their best to get on the right side of the issue, knowing that the truth is about to be exposed. That's why you saw FBI Director Wray come out and make his statement. Department of Energy had said something just before that. So there's a lot of that going on. I think the biggest thing in the panel I got a little upset about, I got a little emotional about, was, and I understand, where they're coming from this, but, someone had said, look, I think that it's really not the Democrats may not be as big of a problem as everybody thinks. They're probably on the same page with the Republicans on 90% of the stuff. It's just the fringes. That is absolutely not true. And the point I made is that you can't make the argument that the vast majority of Democrats are good people right now, because good people don't let the kind of stuff that's happened to this country over the last 2 years happen. They put their partisan politics aside and they do what's best for this country. And whether you're talking about COVID, you're talking about the weaponization of our government, or you're talking about any of the other issues with our kids or all the other, small businesses being destroyed. Good people don't let that happen to people in this country.
Yeah, and Ronnie, I know that, you've had such a great, distinguished career as an admiral, as a doctor to, several presidents. I think it's when most of us first, met you and interacted with you. And obviously now as a member of Congress, and, you say you bring such a rich, fund of experience and knowledge to that job, and I think you're the kind of person that we need in Congress. We don't need these career politicians. We need people like you that get out in their district, that represent their district, that are proud to be from where you are. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you're hearing from your constituents as you talk to them and meet with them?
Well, I'm in a perfect district, to be honest with you. I'm in the 13th Congressional District of Texas. It has historically been the number one most conservative district in the entire United States. Out of 435 seats, I had the most conservative. And my people in my district, they support me, which is great. I can go out. I've got a perfect combination. I got into this not ever wanting to be a politician, not ever considering going into politics, but basically going into it because, a variety of things that happened to me in my personal life during the Trump administration. I was frustrated, and this was my answer to get in the fight and do something about what was going on and get in a position where nobody could muzzle me, nobody could silence me, nobody could make me go home except for the people that put me there, the people that elected me. That's where I'm at now. I'm outspoken. I've gone through so much in my past, especially during the Trump administration. I do not give a damn what the press says about me now, which also is an advantage. And I have the distinct advantage that my district supports almost everything I say and I do. Yeah. So I wish we had more people that were in the same situation I'm in. Not everybody's in that situation, but we're going to get there, because every election cycle, we get more and more people coming into Congress that are like me, that are not career politicians, that got into it out of a sense of frustration and a need to do something about what's happening in this country.
I think that's great. And so many of us first interacted with this new Congress watching the several day long speaker election. And I think what a lot of Americans want to know, and a lot of people that watch my show want to know, is what's the current mood of the caucus? Were we able to heal that? Were we able to kind of come together and move forward? Or is there still some bad feelings?
We're on the same page right now, and I was worried about that myself, to be honest with you, right? I think that the process that we went through, although it was really ugly to watch on TV, and it looked very unorganized, and it looked like we weren't all on the same page, and we weren't, to be honest with you, but there were a lot of concessions that were made that made our caucus, our conference, a lot more conservative in our approach to governing during the 118th Congress, which I personally appreciate. So I think that a lot of good came from that process. I think that Kevin McCarthy has done a great job as speaker so far. He will continue to have his feet held to the fire, but he's continued to say and do the right things. He's been aggressive. And I think that the rest of the conference, even those that didn't initially support him, are now falling in behind Kevin, and we're following his lead. And as long as he keeps leading us down the right path, and doesn't give in to the Dems, I think that we're all going to be cohesive and together.
Good. Well, that's fantastic. In the final, as we're wrapping up, you know, kind of what's one thing that you hope your fellow American citizens and your fellow patriots think about as they think about America's future?
Well, just don't give up. I mean, you know, I mean, that's been the biggest thing. I mean, now the last election cycle, you know, people, you know, I was campaigning. I was telling people, you know, you got to get out and vote. You know, we have to get out in large numbers. You have to get your neighbors out and so on and so forth. And you know what? They did. They got out in huge numbers and voted, right? And we still didn't come back with the numbers that we thought we were going to have. We didn't get the majority in the House that we thought we were going to get. We lost the Senate, you know, we lost Senate seats. And so people are discouraged. People are like, well, what's the point kind of thing? But I just tell people, don't give up. You know, this is a long-term fight here. You know, we won't have much more left if we keep pushing hard because we got the House now. This next election cycle, get out and vote. We're going to do a better job as a party to make sure that we get the vote out as well. But let's keep the House. Let's get a bigger majority in the House. Let's get the Senate back, and let's get the White House. And I think that this country has a bright future despite what's going on right now.
Congressman Ronny Jackson, thank you for joining us here on CPAC Now. We'll be right back.